is worthy of all praise, is worthy of all glory. Father, thank you, and blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Our Father, we are before you this morning and we give you the glory for the privilege and the honor to be in your presence. Thank you for what you have been doing since Shiloh commenced. Thank you for the power of your word that has been bringing changes to our lives. Thank you for the testimony of your mighty hand that we have been experiencing. And now, Lord, our eyes are upon you again. Speak to us again this morning and let your word transform our lives. We give all the praise and the glory to you. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen. Shiloh 2021. Give Jesus a big, big hand, and please, you may be seated in his presence. I want to appreciate God and appreciate his servant, the apostle, over this commission. My father, both in the faith and in the flesh. Hallelujah. And I believe, God, that at this Shiloh this year, I believe, God, that the grace of God that is at work upon him will speak through me today in the name of Jesus. Each one of us will live here transformed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen. This morning, it's my privilege and assignment to speak on the subject, engaging the power of applied revelation. Engaging the power of applied revelation. Shiloh 2021 has been prophetically themed more than a conqueror. And it's important that we're reminded this morning that God has ordained every child of God to be more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things. So there is nothing that is permitted to conquer us. We are ordained to be more than a conqueror. And we have discovered so far that to be more than a conqueror connotes that what used to trouble you now trembles at your instance. I don't know what was troubling you before you arrived at Shiloh, but as you emerge from this mountain, everything that troubled you will begin to tremble before you. Somebody believe it, say aloud, amen. He said, what ailed thee, O sea, that thou fleddest, and thou mountains that you skip like rams, and little hills like lambs? He said, tremble thou, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. I don't know what was troubling you before now, but as you emerge from this mountain, everything that troubled you will begin to tremble before you. God's word declared that I will put the fear and the dread of you in the heart of all of your adversaries. I see that becoming somebody's experience. We also discovered, as our mother taught in the hour of visitation yesterday, that to be more than a conqueror means to put the enemy to flight without a fight. To put the enemy to flight without a fight. I call that dominance without resistance. To put the enemy to flight without a fight. Where the enemy sees you are far off, and knows he must keep off. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I saw a little clip that was shown to me sometime recently of a boxing match. The boxer came into the ring and the opposition came into the ring. And this boxer was known not to move very much, but he has just one punch. And that is all that is required to level the opposition. Very devastating. So this opposition entered into the ring and moved from side to side. And when they said round one and the bell rang, he came out of the ring and began to walk away. It was time to fight, but he took flight because of the terror of the one standing in the ring. By reason of the encounter you are having at Shiloh, you will become a terror to your terrorizers. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. You will become a terror to your terrorizers. The things that used to scare you will become afraid of you. But we discover that this dimension of dominion is a product of revelation. In John chapter 1 verse 4 and verse 5, the word of God declares to us there. It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The most dominating force known is light. Wherever light appears, darkness goes. In the natural, when the day is coming, they don't call it day come, they call it daybreak. Why? Because the arrival of light is the breaking of darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They don't call it night break, but they call it daybreak. Because no matter how thick the darkness is, when the light comes, it must be shattered. Revelation remains a potent force in the journey towards the practical dominion of the redeemed. Revelation. When one operates by revelation, you exercise dominion without exertion. No sweat. Dominion without exertion. You discover that, for example, when you find a plane that wants to take off, the plane will go on the runway and will go to the end of the runway and turn and face where it wants to take off from and begin to generate a lot of energy. There's a lot of exertion before the plane takes off. When a rocket is about to take off, there is smoke, there is dust everywhere before it takes off. But the Bible tells us about the power of light. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 8. Who are these that fly as the cloud and the doves to their windows? A plane wants to take off. There is much noise and much exertion. A rocket wants to take off. There is much noise and much exertion. But when a dove wants to take off, there is no sound. It takes off without sweating, without struggling, without exertion. That is the power of light. If you will erase your sweat, you must operate by light. If you will erase your struggle, you must operate by light. We discover that it is through light, through revelation, that we command power without perspiration. Power without perspiration. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10 down to verse 12. Look at what God's word tells us here. It tells us very clearly. It says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant. And verse 11, it says, moreover, he said, son of man, what do you see? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. He said, you have well seen, you have revelation now. I will now hasten my word to perform it. Power without perspiration. When a man or woman is operating by revelation, you experience advancement without restriction. Nothing can stop your forward motion. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. Where light is coming, you are progressing without restriction. I see that becoming somebody's experience here in the name of Jesus. That is why God's servant has said that outside of salvation, the greatest blessing of redemption is revelation. Revelation. It is the greatest treasure of redemption. However, it is important that we note that the value of revelation cannot be experienced without application. It is putting the word to work that makes things work in your life. Putting the word to work. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 25. The word of God tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For he that hears the word and does not do it is like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. He says, and he forgets what manner of man he is. But he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, him not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man will be blessed in his deed. What is God saying? The word of God leaves work for man. There are responsibilities. There are steps to take. There are actions to engage. And it is in the application of the word that we secure the manifestation that we desire. I pray again for each one of us this morning that upon this mountain, the grace to engage with every word received, may that grace come afresh upon us. You believe it? Say louder, amen. I said, may that grace come upon us. You believe it? Say louder, amen. This is why no one can tell the worth of any commandment without complying with it. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all that I command you, he said that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. You can't see the value of any commandment until you comply with it. It is our compliance with divine commandment that extracts the virtues that those commandments carry. I pray today that upon this mountain, the grace to comply with every instruction received, may that grace come afresh upon us. Let's look at these practical illustrations from scriptures. The word of God makes it clear to us that God's word is a seed. Luke 8 and verse 11. The seed is the word of God. But no seed can manifest its worth without being planted. The word of God tells us in the book of Mark chapter 4 verse 30 to verse 33. It says that the kingdom can be likened to a mustard seed. That seed is the smallest, less than the seeds of the earth. He said, but when it is sown, it groweth up. It becomes greater than all the herbs. It shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air will come and lodge under the shadow of it. It is a tiny seed. God's servant has told us before how small this seed is, that you can't pick it up with your fingers. You will need to, you know, stick it to a finger to be able to pick it up. That's how small the seed is. So it means that you can put a forest of those seeds inside your pocket. It will fit inside your pocket. What is inside the pocket is a forest. A forest cannot be physically carried, but the seeds of a forest can be pocketed in a man's trouser. There are many people who are carrying revelation seeds, forest of seeds, and it is loaded in the pocket of their trousers. Their mobile bank of revelation, but they are bankrupt of application. when application is absent, revelation is dormant. When application is absent, revelation is dormant. Let's look at the following examples in scriptures. Jesus met a man in the book of John chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. And this man was blind. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he saw him, the Bible tells us that he took spittle and put on his face. And he said to him, now go to the pool called Siloam and wash. And the Bible says that the man went and washed and came back seeing. Now listen to this carefully. One can never tell the eye-opening power that was at that pool of Siloam without obeying. It was obedience that triggered the manifestation. A man may have a desire, but that individual cannot take delivery of that desire without obedience. The obedience of that man caused his eyes to be open. I don't know what you have come to Shiloh expecting, but as you engage the power of obedience, I see that desire being supernaturally delivered. Secondly, one must dip himself in Jordan to know the leprously cleansing power therein. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible tells us after the instruction came to Naaman to go down to Jordan and to dip there 7 times. He said he went there and he dipped 1st time, 2nd time, 3rd time, 4th time, 5th time. Everything was looking the same. Leprosy was still ravaging his body. 6th time, it looked like nothing has changed. But at the 7th time, his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The leprosy cleansing power could only be experienced by obedience. I don't know what looks like leprosy around your life that makes you to be separated negatively from your peers. But upon this mountain, as you begin to engage the light that is received, I see it overturned for a testimony. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest, amen. In John chapter 5 verse 1 to 5, we have another episode. Jesus came across a man who was seated at a pool called Bethesda. And the Bible tells us that the pool was teared up at a certain time. And anyone who dived in was made whole of whatever plague he had. So it means that one cannot gain access to the healing power in that pool of Bethesda until he dives in. There is always a demand, always a requirement for anyone to partake of the blessings that are available in any divine provision. This is so important. We must understand that in the school of revelation, application is a vital requirement. You can't negotiate it. Where application is absent, revelation is barren. Where application is absent, revelation is barren. Quickly, why is application of revelation vital for becoming more than a conqueror? We'll look at 4 reasons very quickly this morning. And I believe, God, that as the light of God's word comes our way and the power of his spirit comes upon our lives, we'll be walking practically into our testimonies. Number one, application is the secret to divine presence. A man that will carry the presence of God is one that is committed to obedience to God. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, look at what Jesus said. He said, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Why? Because I do always the things that please him. Not because I am Jesus, but because I am obedient. I do always the things that please him. So divine presence is one of the effects of our obedience. When a man or woman commits themselves to the application of God's word, they secure access to divine presence. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 114, we saw it in verse 7, it said, tremble thou, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. So when a man carries divine presence, he becomes more than a conqueror. That's why we are told in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. It said, if you hearken diligently to the Lord your God to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said that the Lord will set you on high. And verse 7 tells us, he said that your enemies that come against you one way, they will flee from you seven ways. A man that carries God cannot be confronted. A man that carries God cannot be challenged. A man that carries God cannot be relegated. A man that carries God cannot be shifted out of the way. For somebody here, as you emerge from Shiloh, God's presence will begin to manifest around you. If you believe it, say louder, amen. That's why the word of God tells us in Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, it said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. He said, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Look at verse 9. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Verse 10, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Please hear this and hear it very well. The cheapest way to be more than a conqueror is to secure divine presence. The cheapest way to be more than a conqueror is to secure divine presence. And we secure divine presence by commitment to obedience. When a man or woman commits themselves to obeying God, they naturally begin to enjoy divine presence. For somebody here, as you emerge from Shiloh, people who see you will see God in you. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. I said somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. What that means is that in the battles of life, what you require is not physical power, it's not might, it is presence. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, he said this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And verse 7, look at this closely. He said, who art thou, O great mountain that is before Zerubbabel? What is it about Zerubbabel? He said, this man is not operating by power. He is not operating by might. He is operating by the presence of the Spirit. He said, and who art thou, great mountain, that standeth before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Thou shalt become a plain. You are not just a mountain, but he said that mountain is a great mountain. A mountain that is unmistakable, but thou shalt become a plain. Thou shalt become a plain. Why? Divine presence. And that presence is the outcome of obedience. Divine presence. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. Now, think of it this way. If you put a little object like a matches packet and put it on the floor, when an ant is coming towards that packet is like a mountain to it. You will see the ant climbing it gently, because it is a mountain standing before it. But when an individual looks at that packet, he can step it and not know that he stepped anything. The packet is a mountain to the ant, but it is leveled to the man. When a mountain looks big before you, it is level before God. What does it mean? It means God will step the mountain and not know anything was there. So the secret to leveling your mountain is moving with God. When God is moving with you, the mountains are leveled before you. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 3. Look at what the word of God tells us. It said, thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I am holding, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings. I will open to him the tulip gates, and the gate shall not be shut. Verse 2, I will go before thee, and the crooked mountainous places, I will make them straight. I don't know what was standing as a mountain before you came to Shiloh. But as God's presence begins to saturate your life, the mountain shall become a plain. But the secret to that presence is obedience. Romans 8 verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody is emerging from this mountain as a terror to your position. Number two, obedience is what gives life to our faith. Obedience is what gives life to our faith. In James chapter 2, verse 18, this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, ye say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And verse 26, look at this closely. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Our obedience is what gives life to our faith, and our faith is the secret behind our lifestyle as more than a conqueror. God's servant and father has been taking us on the subject of faith. And this faith requires the vital force of application. For somebody here this morning, as you begin to engage the force of obedience, your faith will begin to deliver at a strange frequency. You believe it, say a louder amen. I say, you believe it, say a louder amen. You believe it, say a louder amen. So obedience is what gives life to faith. And that faith makes you more than a conqueror. I see somebody here, imagine more than a conqueror. Number three, obedience is the trigger for divine intervention. Obedience is the trigger for divine intervention. In John chapter 2, we know the story. There how that a marriage in Canaan Galilee was called, and suddenly they ran out of wine. And in verse 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, told the servants in that party, he said, whatever it is that he tells you to do, do it. Obedience, the secret for divine intervention. Obedience. The obedience may not look like it is comfortable, but it is the secret to your comfort. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Shout hallelujah. It triggers divine intervention. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 8, Peter and his partners had toiled all night. They had caught nothing. And Jesus used the boat of Peter and said to him, now launch out to the deep and go for a draught. And the Bible says, Peter said, we have toiled all night, we have caught nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will obey what you say. In spite of the fact that it seems contrary to what is naturally obtainable, I will obey what you have commanded. And we know what happened. Peter went in, cast down the net, and the Bible tells us that they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break, and their boats began to sink at the instance of obedience. Obedience is a vital key. in determining our access to this lifestyle of being more than a conqueror. Shout hallelujah. 10 lepers met with Jesus in Luke 17, verse 11 down to verse 14. And the Bible says they cried out to him. That cry can be likened to prayer. They cried out to him, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And the Bible tells us that when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourself to the priests. And look at the next statement. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. The instruction was go. Somebody else may have said, no, but I heard that you normally heal the sick. And when you heal the sick, I've heard many people who said that they were healed instantly. Why is it that I've not yet been cleansed? The instruction was very clear. Go. Go. When they turned back, everything still looked the same. They were leprous. But as they kept obeying, suddenly they discovered that the leprosy was cleansed. It is important for us to understand that our obedience is the secret to divine intervention. In fact, it is when your obedience is complete, his intervention will commence. Engage this factor of obedience and you will secure divine intervention. I don't know what you have been confronted with, but by the vital instructions that you are receiving both from the teachings and from your personal time with the Lord upon this mountain of Shiloh, as you walk in them, I see God's intervention commencing in every department of your life. Amen. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Amen. I said somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Amen. That is the secret. That is the secret. In the book of Luke chapter 1, the Bible tells us something between verse 5 and verse 10. There was a man in scriptures. His name was called Zacharias. And the Bible tells us that this man was among the priests. And in we are told that as he executed the priest's office, look at this very closely from verse 8. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, he had a function, an assignment. He had something that was assigned to him that he was to do. While he executed the priest's office, and as to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, his assignment was to burn incense when he went into the temple. And the Bible tells us, it says that as he was doing that, the multitude were outside praying. Everybody else was asking for intervention. But this man was engaging in obedience, doing exactly what he was there to do. And the Bible tells us, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, this is a very striking statement. He appeared unto him and said unto him, look at verse 12. He said, Zechariah, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. It's a strange statement because he was simply obeying. He was not even praying. Everybody else was praying. He was obeying. God's servant has said over and again that obedience is louder than voice. Obedience is louder than voice. He was busy obeying. He said, fear not. Fear not. Your prayer is heard. Now the Bible tells us that your wife Elizabeth will bear thee a son and thou shalt call his name John. Divine intervention just answered at the instance of obedience. Shout hallelujah. Haven't you heard testimonies in abundance here of people who simply obeyed their way without struggle and God stepped in. Barrenness terminated at the instance of obedience. One of us was sharing a testimony in the specialized session yesterday and said, he said that he came into the business class and he heard a word in that business class about engaging in kingdom advancement as a secret for business. Now his business was stagnated. Everything was upside down. He said when he heard that word, he was angry. The first day of the class, he became angry and decided I won't go back to that class again. I want business breakthrough. And here they are talking about kingdom advancement. So he decided not to go. He came here for another class. And when he entered, he said, suddenly he heard the same word again. Kingdom advancement. At that time, he discovered there must be something in this. He engaged in it. Suddenly, everything turned around. He said the business now is operating with international connections all over the globe. Just by engaging the simple tool of obedience. You don't know what is in obedience until you have obeyed. You don't know. We have heard over and again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a simple thing. Just make him first in every area. Make him the priority in every area. Let it be God in the morning, God in the afternoon, God in the evening. And watch what he makes of your life. Simple obedience to simple instructions. That is what brings divine intervention. For somebody here, concerning your matter, God will step in. If you believe it, say louder, amen. Number four, obedience is the force behind fulfillment of prophecy. It's the force behind fulfillment of prophecy. In Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15, the word of God tells us there, it says, all that the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And look at what happened in chapter 21 and verse 45. He said, there failed not aught of the good things which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Whenever there is something that seemed not to have come to pass, there is something that we have yet to engage. Obedience is the key. It is the key to securing the fulfillment of prophecy. I pray that for each one of us, from this day forward, the grace to maintain a life of obedience will come afresh upon us. But we must understand that there is a demand for the spirit of obedience in order to maintain commitment to application of revelation. There's a demand. We need the spirit of obedience. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, the word of God tells us there, I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. So there is a requirement for us to have the spirit of obedience in order to obey. Why is that so? Because the major contention of the enemy is against our obedience. In the book of Romans chapter 7 and in verse 18, the word of God tells us there. He said, Romans 7 and verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my own ability, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. But how can I overcome this? Philippians 2 and verse 13, it is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we engage the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of obedience, to enable us comply with every divine instruction. And how do we gain access to the operation of the Spirit of obedience? We gain access through prayer. Luke 11 verse 14, God's word makes it very clear. He said, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, including his operation as the spirit of obedience, to them that ask him? From today, I see the spirit of obedience that will enable you to apply every revelation beginning to manifest upon your life. Lift your right hand to heaven this morning and take right now, make demands on the outpouring of the spirit of obedience. He said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Lord, I receive this morning the spirit of obedience to apply every revelation received from this moment forward, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have asked for it. That spirit of obedience shall begin to manifest upon your life in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen. Shall we rise on our feet right now as the choir leads us and we celebrate and praise God together? Shout hallelujah.